Today on Real Radio.
Jesus came and he lived 33 and a quarter years on earth. But for the last 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been here every day, 24 hours a day, being the one who sees all in the world and knows all. And yet his desire is still that you and I might be drawn closer to him. Isn't that amazing?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 14. This entire chapter is really quite Trinitarian. God the Son speaks of being in God the Father, and vice versa. Now, in the verses we're studying today, he speaks of the third person of the Trinity. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Perseverance of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus says the Holy Spirit is everywhere in the world, and that he's convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and the Bible says of coming judgment. But the great news, it's the Holy Spirit's desire and purpose to take you, to take all of mankind, if they would just listen and yield to him, to take a world that is destined to judgment. And as the Bible says, those who come to trust in Christ have passed from judgment to life. And isn't it amazing that we being Christians, I'm looking around, some of us going door to door in our communities for the truth. Some of you going around the world for the truth. That we will beg with people on street corners, don't we? Or in front of malls or city plazas or door to door, we'll beg them to come to Christ. Isn't it funny that you can be so much in love of their soul more than they are themselves? That you are more concerned about their eternal destination than they care about. So, and thus we share Christ. Why? He has put this love in our hearts that we might spread the good news. That there's no greater message that could ever be delivered than that God loves you. He came and died on the cross in Jesus Christ, rose again from the dead, that you and I might have eternal life. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he perseveres in that he presents that truth to every person that is ever brought into the world. That's his job. I mean this with all respect. Don't think I'm saying it any other way. Jesus came and he lived 33 and a quarter years on earth. He died and went to heaven. But for the last 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been here every day, 24 hours a day, being the one who sees all in the world and knows all. And yet his desire is still that you and I might be drawn closer to him. Isn't that amazing? I love it. I said, isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I knew you were there somewhere. Hey, this is a true story. A fellow pastor of a Calvary Chapel shared this with us. They were on vacation. They left California. They went to Florida. And they were vacationing. Took everybody with them, including the family dog. They rented a house. And if you've ever been to Florida, water is everywhere. And they rented a house, and the backyard of the house came with a waterway that was behind it, as many homes in Florida are like that. As they were there, enjoying themselves, evening began to settle in. They're all on the back porch barbecuing and enjoying themselves. They're throwing the ball. They're goofing off. Well, they had a little dachshund. You know a dachshund? I call them wiener dogs. They look like a hot dog with a tail on it. And they're playing. They brought their little dog, and they're playing with the dog. Well, Junior picks up the ball, and he throws it into the water. Now, normally, that's okay. But nobody warned them about Florida. You don't go in the water in Florida. But they weren't thinking. So little wiener dog, he's out there getting. Have you ever seen a hot dog swim? They're so little. Their legs are so stocky. His little guy's going along, you know, almost sinking. Then he gets the ball and he turns around. He's coming back to shore. And then behind him, they noticed the water being churned up. And making a beeline for that little dog of theirs was an alligator. And it wasn't a little one. It was a big one. And that gator took a massive, awesome gulp at that dog, and they never saw that dog anymore. That dog, the ball came to shore. They were crying. They watched the whole thing in front of them. They were sick to their stomach, and they went in the house. They went to bed. In the early morning, mom got up, and she walked to the door. She had her cup of coffee. She's going to go out back. She's sick to her stomach, thinking this had to be a dream. She looks out the window of the door, and she sees on the shore, lapping up on the beach, was the alligator flat on its back. Its gut ripped wide open, blood all over the place. And she heard whimpering at the door. She opened the door, and their little dachshund was at the door, covered with alligator blood and guts. And she picked that little thing up and began to clean him up and stuff. His tail started wagging. He was fine. The gator was big enough that when it took a bite of the dog, it swallowed him whole. It went past his teeth, swallowed the dog all the way down. But what do you know about dachshunds? What were they bred to do? To dig. The dog started digging. The dog started digging inside the gator. And as you know, the alligator's most tender spot's its belly. It dug through the gator, went right through the stomach, right through the muscle, right through the outer skin. The dog got out. It killed the alligator. The dog swam to shore and went and sat on the back porch. What a trip, you know? And here's the deal. That dog persevered. That dog hung in there. Man, sometimes you might feel, oh man, the world's eating me alive. Hey, the Holy Spirit in you will see to it that you persevere all the way through. The Holy Spirit's going to get you all the way to the end of this life journey. You know that? The Bible says in Philippians 1 verse 6 that He is the one who is working the very will of God out in our lives, that He will not stop doing the work that He has started in your life. Did you sometime in your life say yes to Jesus Christ, but maybe you have fallen away? I got news for you this morning. The Holy Spirit, though you might have given up, will persevere in your life to get you all the way through life's trials, even if you're swallowed by it, and get you out on the other end and bring you home. You and I, if this morning you have said yes to Jesus Christ, you and I will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not because you're cute, not because you're good, not because you put a dollar in the basket when it went by, none of that. Because He is good, because He has given all, and He will do it. Faithful is He who has called you, and He will perform it. Amen? He is true, and He's going to get you there. God is good, and He loves you, and the Holy Spirit has come into your life if you've opened your heart's door to Jesus to take you to heaven. And you say, well, let's go now. And that's exactly what I'd like to do too. But until we do go home, we have work to do. And that work is to be done by the Holy Spirit. That work is to be done to the glory of God. Every church, and I don't mean the building, obvious, look at this place. I don't mean the building, but the church, you and I should be living to the glory of God. People should be able to look at us and say, man, what's with you? Now, of course, if they looked at the building, the church as the building, they'd go, we're in a warehouse. That's true. But this is not the church. You're the church. And when the world looks at the building, they can go, it's a warehouse? I've had people tell me in the community lately, hey, you guys are building the church. Yeah, we're going to come then. But then that's okay, because I remember when we were meeting just across the street in one little 1,200 square foot unit, and people were saying, when you get a unit like that, then I'll come. And they came. Then when we lived in, or we had the church in the house, people were saying, well, when you meet on Sundays, then we'll come. And they came. What's amazing to me is that the church ever got started, because it started as a Monday night Bible study. Who came? About six of us came. Why? It's not the building. You are the church. And when the world looks at the church, they should say, what's with you? What's with you? The world's freaking out. Everybody's panicking. The United States this morning has put on international alert. We're pulling our ships out of port worldwide. Got a call this morning from Jerusalem. The U.S. forces are leaving the ports there in Haifa and Tel Aviv. Why? They're steaming out of the Mediterranean off the coast of Spain. San Diego and Seattle, full alert. Why? Because we're supposed to get bombed in the next 2 weeks. Did you know that? I heard that today. I had to get a phone call from Jerusalem to find that out. But we've been brought under a huge threat, a Muslim threat to American forces globally. And troops are leaving, or ships are leaving port. We know even in Japan. Wow, what's going on? I don't know what's going on, but he knows what's going on. And I don't have to worry about it, because our God's in control. And no matter what, we have peace that passes all understanding, so that when the church looks at us, or I should say when the world looks at the church, they should be able to say, haven't you guys heard? Don't you know what's going on? Yeah, sure do. Well, aren't you going to freak? Aren't you going to panic? Here, have a beer. Oh, what's this supposed to do? Kind of mellows you out. No, it makes you real stupid. So that I'm not aware of what's going on. Because when I see what's going on in the world and I look to God, I have peace in the midst of the storm. I can be swallowed by an alligator. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get all the way through. Because he promised me. And he's never lied yet. And he's not going to. He is so very, very good. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 25 down to 31, Jesus said, your letters are red in your Bible. He says, these things, that is all of chapter 13 and 14, these things I have spoken to you while being yet present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled or turbulent, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you that I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let us go from here. A few things we're going to touch on this morning, three things. So have your notebook ready, and there's even notebook paper in front of you to take notes with. The first thing that we want to realize concerning the perseverance of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is talking about his coming. We saw that last week, and today Jesus is talking to us about how the Holy Spirit will persevere. He will persevere in several areas. Number one, he's going to be with us. Number two, he's going to be teaching us. Number three, he's going to remind us of whatsoever Jesus has taught us. And you might say, well, gosh, that's great for them, Jack, but what about us now? Oh, it's even better now. It's even better now because you know what? Jesus says everything that I've told you about, he's going to bring to you by teaching and by remembrance. And I say to you these things in advance, that when they happen, you will know and believe. How does that benefit us? Because we are 2,000 years this side of the birth of the church. Wouldn't it have been awesome that if the disciples back then knew, especially John when he wrote Revelation and he came to the 13th chapter, when John prophesied by the Holy Spirit that there would come a day, are you listening? There would come a day in human culture and existence that there'd be a cashless society, that people would only buy and sell through numerics, that is numbers. And yet John penned that in Revelation 13, starting at around the 12th verse. He talked about a cashless society that would be implemented in the world just before Jesus returned to earth. Well, what about the promises of the scripture that said that Europe would arise and be reinstated again as a global power and be unified as it was in the days of Rome? And Daniel prophesied that in Daniel's chapter 2 and 7 and 11. Wow. Daniel chapter 9 told us that the Messiah, nearly 1,000 years before Jesus would ever be born, that the Messiah would come riding into Jerusalem, and that the very week of his promised coming, he would be cut off and taken out of the land of the living, and that he would die for the transgressions of the people, says Isaiah chapters 53 and 54. Who would have thunk it? But it's happened. You and I live 2,000 years this side. Do you think we've got something to share? We've got something to share more boldly than ever before. Why? Every day that we live, every morning we wake up to a newspaper, there's more in that newspaper that you can find in association with the Bible every day. You can just take out your Bible, if you know it, and take out a newspaper and write various scriptures of Bible being fulfilled. Jesus said, listen, cheer up, be encouraged. I'm telling you these things in advance, that when they happen, you might believe. The first thing that we see this morning is this, in verses 25 to 26, is that the perseverance of the Holy Spirit means this. He is, in fact, in his persevering, he's pursuing. He pursues us. He has been pursuing you. He's been pursuing me all the days of our lives, since the day that we were born. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you while yet being with you, present, but the helper, the comforter, the word is parakletos. You remember that from last time. The Holy Spirit, one who comes alongside to encourage you and strengthen you along, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. What a great thing. Note this. From Jesus' words, the Holy Spirit has always been with us. We know this from Scripture. Even if this morning you're sitting here and you're not a Christian. Now, let me say something right here. Many people today say, well, I'm a Christian. I was born in America. Literally, I've heard this. That is horrible. That is not Christianity. You have to willfully choose to become a Christian. Are you ready for this? Hey, if you don't like this, take it up with the guy who wrote it. I didn't write this. He said, you're either for me or you're against me. And all those that I call publicly. He says, I will acknowledge you before men if you call upon me. He says, if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father and the holy angels. Wow. All that Jesus called, he called publicly. You say, nah, Nicodemus, he came to Jesus privately at night. Yeah, and it was written in the third chapter of John's gospel for the whole world to read. But when the ruler came to Jesus, it was public. When so many others came to Jesus, it was public. Have you ever, and I know this makes some people uncomfortable, but have you ever publicly professed Christ? Have you ever agreed or said, Jesus died for me. I've given him my life. I've asked him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, all those who believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, if they believe that in their heart and if they confess that with their mouth, they shall be saved. Wow, that's what the scripture says. Why does it say that? Because the Holy Spirit, all of our life, has been pursuing us. And he's waiting for that wonderful moment to where we will turn and yield and say, yes, Lord, come in. Very quickly, there is a sin that can be committed. Only one, according to the Bible, that can never be forgiven. Did you know that? Are you an adulterer? That can be forgiven. Are you a mugger? That can be forgiven. Are you just evil? That can be forgiven. But you know what cannot be forgiven? It has a direct correlation to the person of the Holy Spirit, by the way. Jesus says, all manner of sin shall be forgiven in this world. You can sin against the Father, Jesus says, and it will be forgiven you. And you can sin against the Son, he would have pointed to himself, and that will be forgiven you. But he who sins against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven in this world or in eternal life. Never forgiven. And what sin can never be forgiven of? It is the rejection of the Holy Spirit. To reject the Holy Spirit is to reject his message. And his message is, Jesus is real. Put your trust in him. To reject the Holy Spirit is to refuse the work of God. That is the unforgivable sin. How is it committed? It is committed, are you ready? It is committed by living your life and then dying without accepting Christ. That means if you're alive, take your pulse. Are you breathing? If you're breathing, if you have a pulse, yet you have never accepted Christ, there's still hope for you, unless you have a heart attack in this service, and that would be tragic. But while you're breathing, there's still time. Just make sure you come to Christ before you kick the bucket. Then there's no time after that. The unpardonable sin is to say to the Holy Spirit, I don't need Jesus, even though he's been pursuing you. And here's how it happens. Maybe some of you in this morning, you're just atheistic. Nah, I don't believe in God. I'm here because I'm doing it for my friend. So what do you believe in? I'm a evolutionist. Well, man, I tell you, I'd like to shake your hand because you've got huge faith. Your faith is bigger than my faith. So no, you Christians, you make this blind leap of faith, you Christians. Really, the last time I looked at the word in Greek and in Hebrew in my Bible, the word faith is faith founded upon fact. If you want to cough up $1,100, we can get on British Airways this afternoon, flight 263 leaves for London. We can catch the connector to Tel Aviv. In a matter of hours, we can be in Jerusalem. I can show you an empty tomb. That's a fact. My faith's based upon fact. My faith is based upon the fact that Jesus said something and it's happened and it is happening and it's going to happen because he's never failed yet. My faith is based upon what Christ has said and his Bible. Faith found upon fact. You can put my faith, hopefully your faith, and put it into an experimental laboratory and you will be convinced it's true, scientifically provable. But if you're an evolutionist this morning, I would like you to produce a transitional form. Now, if you're an evolutionist, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got to show me something. Where's your faith founded upon fact? I believe in Darwin. He's dead. Yeah, that's because he's an animal like all the rest of us. Speak for yourself. Evolutionists say that we're just animals. If we're just animals, then people are going to murder and kill and mayhem and do whatever they want, and no one's going to care about the value of life. In fact, what they're really going to do is look out for number one, because that's all there is in their life. But you know what? You're hoping, listen, you're hoping that Christianity's wrong, aren't you? You're banking on the Bible being false. And listen, people will say, well, yeah, you know, you can't trust the Bible. There's got a lot of mistakes in it. Really? Will you show me one, please? And then, why don't you become the most famous person that's ever lived? And the richest, by the way, because no one has been able to find a mistake in the Bible. Why? Because it's given by God. He's the Holy Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, demonstrating and explaining the role of the Holy Spirit throughout the whole of Scripture. This study, taken from John chapter 14 and verses 25 through 31, is called The Perseverance of the Holy Spirit, and we'll resume with part two of this presentation on our next edition of Real Radio. Remember, you can hear the study again whenever you'd like, and as often as you'd like. Just visit realradioactive.org. Once again, realradioactive.org. Find out about past studies here on Real Radio, as well as becoming a subscriber to our podcasting of the program, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, just dial 909-393-7100. Again, our phone number here at Real Radio, 909-393-7100. Remember, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and continues communicating the gospel on the radio across the land because of your tax-deductible contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us. You can send in a one-time gift or you can become a regular contributor. Here's our address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, just remember, you can easily locate it on our website, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.